You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. Steve Merrill will step up and in as he does every Monday and Friday. We'll talk some Major League Baseball with Steve. We'll talk about the Brickyard 400, one of my favorite NASCAR races of the year. It's good stuff, man. You got NASCAR at the famed Brickyard. And Indianapolis doesn't get any better than that. We'll break it down with Steve Merrill. Gary and Thorne joins us in studio. And we've got the Gary and Thorne lock of the day. He's got a bunch of locks. And, you know, Pat Mayo's got his lock of the week, right? So we'll have Gary and Thorne's locks of the day. But yeah, we'll focus in on the baseball board. These games are starting to count. We have some interesting series going on this weekend. We'll break it down with Gary and Thorne. We'll take a look at some of the pitching matchups for this evening as well. We'll continue our National Football League team-by-team preview. We arrive in Florida. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the trendy Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are they as good as the hype? The odds makers don't think so, actually. You know, I'm always surprised when I really dig into these odds, when I look at all the different numbers for the teams. And the odds makers, they're not as high on the team as the mainstream media is. And generally, the odds makers are right more than the media are. We'll take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their situation coming in to the year. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about the National Football League as of late, and that's because the preseason is rapidly approaching. We're now less than 2 weeks away, guys. Less than 2 weeks away. And ladies, 2 weeks away. You know, 13 days away. And listen, once they play preseason football, there's no turning back. You know, it's pedal to the metal from here on out. Now, we've warned you. We do these season previews. We give you our opinions on the win totals. But you can't pull the trigger yet. Stuff can happen. Listen, I like the Atlanta Falcons to go over 10 and a half games, but if Matt Ryan gets his leg busted in the first preseason game, then I don't anymore. So you have to tread cautiously, and we have our first official suspension. Pac-Man Jones gets dealt a game. So Pac-Man Jones, how many suspensions is that for you? It's like the dude, it's like that dude, Ned, short name, whatever his name is. How many Twix bars is that for you? Yeah, was that 19 Twix bars? Like, at what point, you know, like, seriously, at what point does the National Football League, like, really ever, like, you know, really take a stand? Pac-Man Jones, a class act, though. Why is he suspended? Well, he got arrested. He tried to headbutt a cop. He kicked the glass in the back of the seat of the cop car. And, oh, yeah, he told the cop that he hopes he dies tomorrow. Good guy, though. One game. Sounds good. One game. All right, so you know what? There's been a lot of talk about suspensions this week in the National Football League, and have all focused around Ezekiel Elliott. It's not a matter of if he's going to get suspended. It's just when they're going to announce it and how long the suspension is going to be. Now, I've said this time and time again. I believe that Ezekiel Elliott is a troublemaker. I believe that the kid was a suspension waiting to happen. And I told anybody that was listening to me, this when a kid came out of Columbus with the Ohio State Buckeyes. But, very similar to this Trump-Russia stuff, yeah, there's a lot of smoke. You know, I don't see any fire, man. I don't see any fire. And Ezekiel Elliott might be a dumb kid that makes a lot of bad decisions, but let's go through the track record here. All right, so they're saying he could get suspended for a domestic incident that transpired with his girlfriend at the time when he was in college. He's into his second year now in the National Football League. So what are we doing? You know, is the Fantasy Sports Network going to suspend me because I told a high school teacher to go F themselves? Like, how far are we going back on this? And the fact of the matter is, he wasn't charged with anything in Columbus. So, yeah, there's a lot of hearsay. Something happened. He was never charged. So what, now Roger Goodell has the power to start going back to the college days? You know, incidentally, there's only been one player in the history of the National Football League to get suspended for stuff that happened in college. Incidentally, another Ohio State Buckeye, Terrell Pryor. And, you know, I tell you guys, these Buckeyes guys and Myers guys, they're all head cases. And I'm not even sure Pryor was. I think he was there before with the sweater vest. Trestle, to be honest with you. But I'm going to defend Terrell Pryor, too. The guy got a couple of freaking tattoos. Johnny Manziel admittedly took money, signed footballs, made money while at Texas A&M, and got suspended for the first half of a game against Rice. I watched the game. And then when he came back, the first thing he did is he scored and he did the money sign in people's faces. Yet, like, really? Terrell Pryor's getting suspended in the NFL because of free tattoos in Ohio State? Are you kidding me? All right. Like I said, I think Ezekiel Elliott is a dirtball. But, you know, we can't just because we think he's a dirtball, because you want him to get suspended. He wasn't charged with anything. It's freaking ridiculous. All right, let's talk about the time he pulled the chick's top down. Hey, was it a cool thing to do? It's not like he's walking around a mall, you know, picking on old ladies and teenagers or anything. The dude was at Mardi Gras. If you watch the whole video, the chick was flashing people the whole time. She put her top back up and he pulled it down again. You know, classy, you know, debatable. But let's be real. Criminal? No. Were there criminal charges filed? No. All right, so some jackass at a bar at 3 in the morning got knocked out in Dallas. Ezekiel Elliott didn't do it. Oh, but he was there. Only, you know, so now if Ezekiel Elliott's buddy drops someone at a bar, he gets suspended? What kind of world are we living in? It's like this mob justice right now. Ooh, suspend Elliott, suspend Elliott. For what? How about some damn facts? You know, show me something. All right, somebody got knocked out at a bar. Maybe the guy was mouthing off to the wrong people. Elliott didn't do it. The cops aren't investigating it. How are you going to suspend a guy? And I read in the media, he was out at a bar at 3 in the morning. Yes, stupid. Not criminal. Not criminal. What are we, is Kim Jong-un running the National Football League now? You don't worship Goodell. Oh, yes, King. Oh, yes, King Goodell. Oh, King Goodell. Master. Yeah, Master Goodell. You know, what's the deal now? You know, like, you know, seriously, you go to North Korea, every time you see a statue or a picture of Kim Jong-un or his old man, you got to bow. And if you don't, they'll shoot you. Evidently, what's the deal now? Roddy Goodell, you got a big fat Buddha statue. You got to rub his belly. Like, at what point? Like, you got to tip Goodell now? Oh, you know what, hey, Elliot, I heard that you grabbed a chick's ass in high school once. You're suspended another game. You know, like, at what point does this end? You know, Pac-Man Jones deserves it. You know who should get suspended? And you know who should get, like, cut or maybe kicked out of the league? Dante Fowler. The guy's driving around, beating people up, stomping on their glass, and throwing the freaking groceries into a lake. Where's the outrage? Oh, I guess he doesn't play for the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, yeah, that's the same. It's the same Dante Fowler that let his two baby mamas fight it out for his love. If you had any integrity in Jacksonville, you'd freaking cut him. But you can't, because he's a good player. There's integrity in the National Football League. Don't go hand in hand. You're all scumbags. But the bottom line is, before we throw away the key with Ezekiel Elliott, let him commit a freaking crime first. Game Time Decisions continues.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Gary and Thorne will join us in studio in a couple of moments. We'll talk some Tampa Bay Buccaneer football a little bit later on the show. And Steve Merrill bats leadoff. A lot of stuff to get to. A lot of stuff going on. Like I tell you guys all the time, this is the time of the year in the football season. You know, I'm always right, but whatever. You know, I'm right so much, people take it for granted. But I told you. This is when guys are going to start getting suspended, kicked out of school, and all this other stuff. So Pac-Man Jones, I didn't realize he told the cop he hopes he dies tomorrow. That's good. I don't know. He did shoot someone outside of a strip club once in Las Vegas, too. Like, at what point? I love, like, these suspensions, but Kaepernick can't play in the league. And this stupid mother-looking earpiece, man, I swear to God. Thank God Gary and Thorne's an in-studio guest next, because I'm going to snap this thing. All right, yeah. Speaking of snapping, Sean Spicer, he's in a bar right now. That's like, that's the worst job ever, man. Imagine like trying to like defend Trump on a daily basis. Steve Merrill joins us. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, so many things to go with there. I can't let the Pac-Man thing go because that's still my favorite radio bump story of all time. I've told it a few times. About 10, 12 years ago, my Friday morning Nashville show, I was up working late all night, you know, in a 9:30 central time. It's pretty early for me. And got up, struggled to call in as always, and I got bumped because the Pac-Man news was breaking from his arrest or whatever. So I got bumped from a show because of Pac-Man Jones back in the day, and I still never forget it.
Yeah, you know, which arrest? The guy's been arrested so many times.
Yeah, this was probably the first one. I doubt they bumped me for the other ones.
Yeah, I guess it's the annual deal. I mean, I'm waiting for the Marcel Darius, like, cough syrup suspension. Like, it would go down the list. Well, you know, we can just anticipate it. You know, it's coming. It's coming. But I brought up Ezekiel Elliott on top of the program, Steve, and there's a lot of smoke. It's like the Trump-Russia stuff. There's no fire. Like, you know what? So he pulled down a chick's top at Mardi Gras, same chick that was riding on a float that was flashing people for the 2 hours leading up to that. Everyone's freaking out that a guy got punched out at a bar in Dallas the other night. He didn't do it. The police didn't charge him. The police say they don't need to talk to him. So yeah, he was at a bar at 3 a.m. And, you know, they're saying that, oh, there was a domestic incident in 2016 while he was an Ohio State Buckeye, but there was no charges. So are we, at what point, Steve, like I said, is Kim Jong-un running the NFL now? I think Elliott's an idiot. I think he's a dumb kid. I think that like 80% of the kids that play at Ohio State are stupid and will probably break the law at some point. But, you know, let's wait for him to actually break the law before we, you know, lock him up and suspend him.
Gabe, you know I've got inside information all the time for you. How do you like this? About a month ago, William & Mary every week has their Nike football camp. It's been going on for several decades, and they get big names. Rodgers, Brady's been here, Peyton Manning. They get three Nike guys every year. And this past year, Matt Ryan came back for the second time. And from the guys I've talked to, him and Andrew Luck have come a couple times. It's the nicest two guys in the history of the league is what everyone tells me. But this year is Antonio Brown of the Steelers, Matt Ryan for a second time, and Ezekiel Elliott, the running back. And about a day or two before, the day of the thing, it starts a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday thing. Back the last week of June, Ezekiel Elliott didn't show. He didn't come to the whole camp, didn't even come to town. And hundreds of dollars for this camp, and he just didn't show.
Antonio Brown showed up, and Matt Ryan could show up, but Elliott couldn't show up.
Yeah, but I haven't talked to anybody about it. It's been about 3 weeks now, and I haven't really seen anybody to talk to about what happened, but I know they were not happy, and he was one of the three guys. And I mean, they sell this camp, you know, I mean, the William & Mary football staff is there, but the reason the kids pay a couple $100 is because they get to hang out with these players and catch a pass from Matt Ryan. And it's funny because the Cowboys are so big again, I had several local friends going, hey, you know a lot about this. How can I get Ezekiel Elliott's autograph? I was like, well, he'll probably have dinner at this spot. This is where they hang out the night before is what I was telling him. And then he ends up not even coming to town. And I never did find out the reason. So there might be more to this than we realize because he's got a pattern all of a sudden is what I'm saying.
No, he does. And like I said, I've expected this. And I warned people about him. I warned people about him coming into the league. I really did. I remember when he was at Columbus. He once ripped Urban Meyer after the game. Like, he was a pro player. I'd never seen that in my life. Like, a college kid in the locker room. I didn't get enough touches. Why did I even come back? And, like, you know, he was really, I was like, wow, this guy, I was like, man, this kid's going to be a lot of fun once he has money in the NFL. And here he is right now. So you're right. I'm not defending him at all. I'm not defending him at all. But at the same point in time, you can't suspend someone for stiffing a football camp and being a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, the kid's a jerk, you know?
Yeah, I guess my point is that there's going to be something bigger that's going to happen, and it's going to be legit. It's just, this is kind of the tip of the iceberg, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I think the Cowboys, this would be, they put it this way, if they were smart, they'd trade him so fast and get so much for him because he had a fantastic rookie season. But he's got about a 2 or 3 year life cycle left based on my over-under.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, though? You're right. And the thing is, they could trade him, and if they get any decent back, they would put up massive numbers there too, right?
Like, yeah, the run, yeah, exactly. That's the other thing.
Like, you're handcuffed,
is fantastic.
You're putting up with his crap when it's like, whatever, kid. You know, it's like he's like a porn actress. Next.
Well, running backs, what's the average lifespan of running back? About 4 years, I think, for everyone.
3.2 years. I lived in Hollywood, Steve. There's a saying in Hollywood. There's a girl getting off the bus from Iowa every 10 minutes, all right?
It's true. And there's a running back getting off the NFL draft every 10 years. You're exactly right.
There is. Like, how many dudes are – how many 6'2" dudes, 210-pounders, you know, are ready to go right now? There's probably about 52 of them. Like, seriously. Like, bona fide. Like, we talked about it yesterday on the show. You take Isaiah Crowell, the kid on the Browns, you put him on the Cowboys, he's running for 1,800 yards. Like
– yeah. Yeah, the example I always use is the Broncos during their Super Bowl days. Who'd they have? Clinton Portis. Terrell Davis. Yeah, they had another one. They had three different running backs that are all very good, and because they had a great offensive line. And Portis was mediocre with the Redskins, and that's another guy. He can team up with Pac-Man Jones right now for a reality show. That news came out the other week that he was going to shoot his financial.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it.
Well, yeah, the good news is he didn't do it.
We've all considered shooting somebody at some point.
Gabe, he didn't exactly think about it. He sat in the parking lot with a gun in his lap, and he was talked out of it. So that was pretty close.
So he came a little closer too. Yeah, thank God you're right. Yeah, I like Clinton Portis. He used to do the best press conferences. Remember with the afros and the wigs.
Yeah, and he was never the sharpest tool in the tack box. And you know, he definitely got taken advantage of. But then again, there was a reason he got taken advantage of.
He didn't go to Miami to learn anything, Steve.
Yeah, Miami's a really good academic school, and I never knew that till recent years because I grew up in the '80s with Miami U, the football program, and you thought. See, I grew up near Georgetown, and I knew Georgetown was a good school, but most people around the country didn't know Georgetown was like one of the best academic schools in the country when they had,
yeah.
the great basketball teams, and then they let Allen Iverson out of prison come and play there, and so it's interesting.
Yeah, sure. All right, Steve. So let's jump in here. Pirates and Rockies, I can't help but think of, Cardale Jones, Ohio State, and the Buffalo Bills when he was at Ohio State, and he said, I didn't come here to go to no class or nothing like that. I came here to learn football.
Yeah, Cardale didn't look like a scholar either.
Yeah. Well, he's pretty smart. He fleeced the Buffalo Bills for a couple of million bucks, and he sucks. it's like, that's the smarter they say, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm like, well, if he's so smart, why does he turn the ball over all the time? I went to Harvard. It's not helping him. Like, he makes bad decisions on the field. But then I realized, I'm like, Ryan Fitzpatrick really is a genius. The guy's terrible, and he's been in the NFL for 12 years. He's got like $68 million in the bank. He really is like a Wall Street guy.
Was he like one of the top 10 Wonderlic scores of all time, I think, still?
Yeah, good for him. All right, so Pirates and Rockies, you and I like to talk about what's hot and what's not. They're both hot right now. Bucks have sort of played themselves back into things a little bit here. They wrapped up a 7-game homestand with a 6-1 record. They won 5 games in a row. Now they play at Rockies team that's won 5 games in a row. We've got Williams versus Hoffman. Neither pitcher has ever faced each other before. And it's interesting, neither pitcher's ever faced any of the guys on the teams before. But when I see that, Steve, I sort of think it's an advantage for Colorado only because the Williams dude, he's never pitched in this stadium before.
Right.
And takes guys a couple of times. You can figure it out there. And it's obvious, keep the ball down. But it's his first trip there, Steve. That gives me, two red-hot teams, sort of, one team with a 6-streak, another team with a 5-streak, sort of advantage Rockies to me because of that.
Well, and we talked about, that NL Central, how the Cubs are still a -200 favorite, 5.5 games back to win the division. Going into yesterday, they were a game and a half back.
Yeah, now it's -175.
Yeah, and Milwaukee got swept all 4 games at Pittsburgh. So already, just in 1 week, we've seen like which teams are going to be hot and not. It's interesting, the Pirates come in here on a 7-game under streak, even though they've been winning. They've been getting some really solid pitching, but they're still batting .292 those last 7 games. It's really been their pitching's been fantastic. And like you said, I don't think that continues tonight in the thin air and altitude for a first-time starter. Colorado, meanwhile, they had that slump going into the break, about a month ago. However, their offense is picking back up again, and that's really been the key for them this season. They're averaging 9.1 runs the last 7 games. They're batting .341 the last 7 games. It's hard to fade that kind of momentum.
All right, so speaking of momentum, the Brew Crew right now have a bad momentum. The beer's going flat. The party, the party's coming to an end right now. With that being stated, should the Philadelphia Phillies be -140 against anybody? Matt Garza on the hill for the Brew Crew. Nola goes for the Phils. Nola's actually been pitching pretty well as of late. He's been one of the bright spots for them. And the Phillies have won 3 of their last 4 baseball games. Garza kind of blows, but he hasn't sucked lately, Steve. There's professional analysis for you. He blows, but he hasn't sucked lately.
No, but I agree with you with the Phillies. They're one of the two or three worst money burners in the league this year. And normally, you know, normally you start getting value with teams like that. And by the way, Milwaukee, the third most profitable team in the league after the All-Star break, and they've gone 0-4 the last four games. So normally you get value playing against big favorites like that, and you're taking the big dogs like Philly, but that's not the case tonight. I mean, they're a substantial medium-sized favorite. You look at three of their last four wins, they were $1.45, $1.20, $1.65 dogs. In fact, they haven't been favorite since before the All-Star break. They were favored back-to-back games on July 7th and 8th, and they lost both of them outright as a favorite against San Diego at home. So, yeah, you can't trust Philly yet. I'm not sure I want anything to do with Milwaukee right now either.
All right, Nationals and the D-backs, big-time series here. The D-backs, of course, pick up Martinez earlier in the week. Max Scherzer's unbelievable. Everybody talks about Clayton Kershaw all the time, but Scherzer's just, you know, he's really been worth every penny that the Washington Nationals have paid him. He's one of the few big-time contract dudes that have just, he's just delivered, man. Every 5 days, the guy delivers. Double-digit strikeouts in 9 of his last 10 starts. He's given up one run or less in 5 of his last 6 starts. Nationals are 5-1 on the road in his last 6. Zach Godley on the hill tonight. Same thing. I was a little bit surprised to see the number here, but I get it because Scherzer is on the hill. But Godley's been terrible. He's lost his last 3 starts. I get why the line the way that it is. I'm not really in a hurry to take the Nationals, but I get why they're favored.
Yeah, I mean, to get a team that's 33-15 at home as a dog like Arizona is pretty tempting. You know, if this was a football or basketball game, you'd have to definitely look at that. But, you know, baseball's different. It's all about the starting pitchers. Scherzer's been as dominant as anybody in the league this year, as you mentioned. Now, he either basically pitches no-hitters into the 6th inning or he gets lit up early. If there's ever a spot where maybe he struggles, it's tonight. Arizona's a very hitter-friendly park. They're averaging almost 6 runs a game at home this year. That's almost a run and a half more than they average on the road. So I think the only way to play it's the value with Arizona. But like you said, you're going against the potential Cy Young Award winner.
All right. The Braves and the Dodgers, Steve, I don't know. The game was taken off the board earlier in the day because it looks like Garcia is going to get traded. I don't know if Garcia has been traded in the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. And I saw the Dodgers were like, you know, big time favorites earlier in the day. But then it got pulled. So there's a lot of question marks around this game. But the Dodgers lost last night. They get back home. I was worried about it. We often see you have a successful road trip, you go back home, you always lose that first game back. But the Dodgers, whatever, they were 30-4 in their last 34 games. They'd been through every bad spot and they kept on winning. They probably bounced back tonight, Steve, and they got Wood on the hill. The dude's 11-0. It's unbelievable. Talk about Kershaw, talk about Scherzer. Alex Wood having an insanely good season right now. I think I'm going to lay the 1.5 tonight with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way you to play it. You don't lay the minus 240 or whatever on the money line because this is a team which is going to have no value the rest of the season. They've been the hottest team in baseball the past couple months. They're number one in my power rankings. And like I said a couple minutes ago, you know, you look to fade teams like that here to make money. The problem is they keep winning. And, you know, until last night, you would have lost a substantial amount over the previous 7 or 8 games. Dodgers, by the way, were the most public consensus play at Covers.com last night, and they fell 6-3 as a $2 favorite, so always something to keep an eye on.
Of course they did. Of course they did. All right. We've only got about 3 minutes here, Steve, so I'll talk fast. 19 races in. Not a lot of time to nail down a win if you're on the outside looking in for the chase right now. Brickyard 400. I love this race. I remember I told you, Steve. I remember when the inaugural season had happened. It's when I really started to get into NASCAR. I was already into it, but you know, I grew up around Formula One in Montreal, so I was a race fan. And then, boom, I was like, God, that's going to be awesome, man. You know, NASCAR at the Brickyard. And I got the hat, the inaugural hat, in 1994. And then Jeff Gordon won the race. He's not there anymore. He's won 5 times there. NASCAR wasn't as big as it was, you know, obviously now either. It's been a growth. You know, going to the Brickyard was really, really big. It was a big get for them. But let's talk about Kyle Busch. He still hasn't won a race. He's looking good for the playoffs. He's in third place, Steve, but you know he wants to win, and he's won the last 2 times here. And what's fascinating is nobody's ever won 3 races in a row at the Indianapolis track. Nobody. In the Indy 500 or NASCAR, nobody's ever won 3 straight races. That's a lot of history, Steve. That's something really that he really wants to do this too.
You've got a guy that's going to be like, probably, what, 4 or 5 to 1 in the odds, and he's lost 35 straight races.
Yeah, I know, yeah, he's plus 400, yeah.
But he still might be the pick. I mean, he not only did he win the last 2, but he finished 2nd in the 2 of the 3 before that. So he's been top 2, 3 of the 4 of the last 5 years on this track. His teammate, Matt Kenseth, has been top 5 in four of his last six with a seventh-place finish as well. We talk about the Gibbs drivers, Denny Hamlin, top five in each of the last 3 years here. So the three Gibbs drivers have been the most dominant on this track recent years. Hamlin finally got the win last week for him, so very good chance they could win again this week. And the bottom line is Toyotas have been the best car this year. That's why Martin Truex has been so dominant. The Gibbs cars are Toyota, so I think one of those three wins again this week.
You know, you raised a great point last week, Steve, when you talked about ever since Logano got nailed for that encumbered, they called it the encumbered finish when he won the race, but he failed the inspection after. You really raised a great point the other day, Steve, when you talked about him and Keselowski haven't been the same since.
Yeah, and he's been top eight each of the last 4 years. Keselowski's been a little bit weaker on this track, but I need to see really fast practice times from both of them if I'm going to use them because they just have not been the same since that penalty.
All right, Truex is plus 350. We got to get out of here. Larson's plus 450. Can't discount Harvick. He's plus 800. He's won here before. He ran well at Pocono, something that's comparable, but we got to get out of here. Jimmy Johnson's the four-time winner. He's the guy that's led the most, but my long shot, Ryan Newman, the hometown kid, South Bend, Indiana. He's won here before. He's won already this year, Steve, so he can just go for it and try to win this race. You know he wouldn't mind kissing the bricks again. And 100-1, I think they're pretty sweet odds.
Paul Menard, he won back in 2011. He's been top 14 in five of the last 6 years. This is Paul Menard's best track.
Yeah, it's been too long since I've heard you say those bad names.
I know, we haven't talked about him for a while. And Casey Kane has been very good here as well. Two guys I'll mention.
Yeah, man, Paul Menard, it's been too long. Our buddy, you know, we miss you, Menard. All right, great stuff, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, Gary and Thorne joins us next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
All right, let's talk some Major League Baseball with Gary and Thorne. All right, you're in the hot seat here, Gary. We're not messing around, right? You know, we'll get some fantasy thoughts if you have some DFS opinions, but we expect winners. Like, yeah. I advertise this as like Gary and Thorne's plays of the day. It's like... just like Pat Mayo, the lock of the week.
He's doing pretty good on those for a while. Not so much last year.
I don't know. We add up the 3 years of his record. He's plus 500. He hasn't lost people money. I think the year one he had his best year.
Well, he was 7-0 to start that year, I remember. And it's hasn't been so great since then, but not bad to go 7-0. Can't take that away.
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings started out the season pretty good last year, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about how you finish.
There you go.
It's all about how you finish. All right, so, yeah, NFL preseason starts in 2 weeks. There'll be a lot of time to talk about football, but we got some baseball games on the board. And Gary's got a couple of games that circled here, and without a doubt a game that I'm actually amazed that it's not on ESPN. The highest profile game of the night, the Marlins and the Reds.
Yeah.
Marlins and the Reds. Although it looks like the Marlins do have a major pitching advantage in this spot.
Yeah.
I swear, I always lose Reds games, man. I bet on them, they lose. I bet against them, they win. I lost. I had a big play on the D-backs the other night. The one night the Reds won 4-3.
Yeah.
An extra.
Yeah. I mean, this is my main thing with this particular game, and it just caught my eye as I was flipping through the games. It was, there's no reason Homer Bailey, you should ever have to pay money to bet on Homer Bailey. There is no reason that Homer Bailey, I don't care if it's at home, I don't care who they're playing, Homer Bailey should never be favored in a game. So that was really kind of the main point I wanted to make here. I mean, Bailey so far this season, almost walking five guys per nine innings, giving up about 2.5 home runs per nine innings, 6+ earned runs in 3 of his 5 starts so far this season. And I'm not in love with Jose Urena, but the kid's got a lot more potential and a lot better stuff than Homer Bailey at this point. And he's generally pretty good at not exactly locking a team down or anything, but he'll give you five or six quality innings and walk out of there with a quality start most of the time. And if he can just pitch half decently tonight, the Marlins will score some runs off of Homer Bailey.
Yeah, you know, Urena is he's becoming a leader, actually. He's reliable. He gets out there every 5 days. He eats up some innings. He's given up the long ball a little bit. Five home runs in the last 13 innings. But Bailey's been killed at home, Gary. 0-2. His ERA is 18. His whip is 2.57.
Yeah, he doesn't like seem to want to pitch in this park. It's bad. And
it's like Homer Simpson type numbers. See, like the Marlins. All right, I can't disagree. I can't disagree with this. And in fact, I'm going to play the Marlins because they're plus 100 just out of principle. Which leads us to another interesting situation here with the Texas Rangers. Rangers aren't a hot team right now. Baltimore beat them up. You got the Rays, who are a hot team. Yep. Rays are a great home team. Very, very good home team. 27-19. Tampa is a poor, Texas is a poor road team. Just 20-30. Yeah, Yu Darvish is on the hill. But Yu Darvish hasn't won in six starts.
It's been a while. It's been a while since he won a start. But Texas might not be a good team on the road, but Yu Darvish is a good pitcher on the road this season. A lot better pitching outside of Texas. He's got a 2.37 ERA on the road, a 3.24 FIP on the road, and most importantly, very susceptible to the long ball in Texas, as, you know, happens in the heat of the summer. 1.45 home runs per nine pitching at home, but that goes down to 0.63 home runs per nine away from Texas. And I think, too, that the one thing Tampa does, I mean, it's kind of a give and take. They like to hit their home runs, and obviously when you hit a bunch of home runs, you're going to strike out a lot too. And Yu Darvish, you know, I was trying to find a strikeout prop for Yu Darvish tonight because I think he gets 11, 12 strikeouts. And in a game like that where I think Darvish just dominates, I mean, Alex Cobb has been good lately, but Alex Cobb is kind of a smoke and mirrors guy. I mean, he's not striking out guys like he was before that Tommy John surgery. So I think Cobb could be in line for a bit of a blow up tonight. And I like Yu Darvish, and I only have to pay I'm only paying minus 130, so it's not too bad.
You know, Tampa's a smoke and mirrors team, Gary. And how they're in second place and doing what they're doing right now is incredible. I like the dog here. I like the dog. Baseball, if you're betting baseball, generally you take a chance with these underdogs. More often than not, you'll end up in the plus money. I just don't trust Texas in this spot, but you raise good points about Darvish. I do respect you, Darvish, a lot, and I don't like betting against him. But just out of theory, like I said, a better home team, a hotter team, getting plus money on their home field, I can't pass that up. Now, last night, very, very frustrating. I fell for it. I was like, why is King Felix plus 130? Seattle are 7-2 in their last nine games. Thought it was a great spot for the Seattle Mariners last night against the Yankees. And I believe Seattle had the bases loaded in the first inning, actually. They left guys on. They had a couple opportunities to bust the game open. They ended up losing the game. It was a really close game. It was a good game last night, but they were on the wrong end of it. They've been red hot, Seattle, and if they can keep this up, they could potentially be a playoff team, Garen. But we'll see what happens this weekend if they can, you know, if they can get back on track tonight. But all the trends and, you know, the scales definitely weighing on the Yankees side of the ledger tonight.
Yeah, and I think the price point is really good for getting the Yankees tonight, mostly because they are in Seattle. But Andrew Moore is just not a good pitcher. That's really the key point of this argument here. I mean, Moore is not only bad, he's got a 6.93 FIP this season, but he's an extreme fly ball pitcher. Like, not just a couple fly balls here and there, but he would have one of the highest fly ball rates in baseball had he pitched the entire season. And this is not a team you want to, you know, pitching that archetype of. I mean, the Yankees this season are the best hitting team against right-handed pitching when you don't include the Houston Astros, who are basically leading the league in every single offensive category. But right after the Astros, they hit righties like no other team. And they're actually top five in average, WOBA, and WRC plus on fly balls this season. They're a team that thrives on hitting fly balls. And Moore, I mean, just isn't all that good. I mean, this season, he's given up almost as many home runs as batters he struck out. 8 home runs to 11 strikeouts. That's a terrible ratio for a pitcher. I mean, Sabathia, you never know which version of Sabathia is going to show up. He had a scoreless outing his last time on the mound, but he also walked 5 guys in that game. So probably not a situation you want to see again or will happen again. But
he has won 6 of his last 7 decisions, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good Yankees team. It's a Yankees team that's obviously now, too. I mean, the Yankees, if they're up in the 6th inning, it's a pretty good chance they're going to win this thing. There's not a lot of teams that trot out a bullpen much better than the Yankees at this point. So I think there's a lot of things going for them right now, and I really like the Yankees. It's probably my favorite play of the night.
When you're talking about Moore's numbers and the deep ball, leads me to believe that Aaron Judge is going to get back in the winner's circle and finally plant one over the fence. Had an RBI last night, but 4-for-29 since the All-Star break. So let the home run derby curse talk begin. 4-for-29. We'll see if he goes deep tonight. All right, another interesting game tonight, the Jays and the Cleveland Indians. The Jays right now, like...
bad.
Yeah, imagine like they're sitting in a courtroom and the verdict's about to come in. It's not good. Yeah. Like they were hoping. You know, we keep waiting for them to just go on that little run.
They're just bad.
And then maybe it'd be like, no, maybe they won't. Now it's to the point where it's like, it's over. Like, well, they're not getting out of this hole.
Because here's the thing. It's unlike 2015 and 2016, where there were a bunch of things that said the Jays are better than their record right now. They're just bad. They're bad at, like, and we look at this stuff from a fantasy perspective all the time, but, you know, from other real-life elements in baseball, they're a terrible base-running team. They're a terrible defensive team. There's not a whole lot going for the Jays this season. They're a bad team, and I think they're in a pretty bad spot tonight.
But every time this year we've been in this situation where it's like, you guys are terrible, you lost 19-1, it's time to break you up. Hey, we won 5-6, you know, it's just, they always, the thing is, the deadline's rapidly approaching. And I guarantee you, man, Shapiro wants them to get swept this weekend. He wants them so he can go to the public and he can go on the Tim and Sid show and tell everybody how great things are. And they can agree and tell him what a freaking genius he is, because they're all brainwashed propaganda spreaders.
Although I think in a perfect world, though, he wants Marco Estrada to pitch like 7 shutout innings tonight.
Him.
So he can trade him, but they still lose.
So there's a lot of talk about Batista. And I heard you talking about this before. You see all these reports. Oh, the Cardinals want Donaldson. Yeah, well, so what?
Yeah.
You know, we all want something. I'd like $2 million in a briefcase in 5 minutes at my desk. It's not going to happen. But without being stated, Batista's another story. He definitely could get traded. I think people would accept it in the city of Toronto. I almost expect him to get traded. And as far as Donaldson, you never know.
Yeah.
But I got to believe there'd be a riot. Like, if you trade Donaldson, then it's like, all right, you guys suck. You're billionaires, and you really don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation, but it's one we've seen time and time again in Toronto, because Toronto really hasn't had a young superstar in a long time, or a superstar that takes the typical superstar route. Like, every single guy who's been the face of this team has basically been a disgraced former prospect who doesn't turn it around till he's 27, 28 years old. And Donaldson, it's tough because this really is the first time he's hitting free agency, you know, and is about to make some serious money.
And is he going to stay?
He might not. But
let's look at the direction of the franchise.
But that's a conversation you can have this summer, this winter, and that's a conversation you can have during the course of next season. I don't think he's going anywhere this year. Batista's tough, too. He's got 10-5 rights. If he wants to stay in Toronto, there's no way they can move him. So
as a betting man, Batista's gone. Like,
I think if they can he'd like to go to contender. I feel like that's on the table. But when we look at the game tonight, I do think that aside, I would probably bet the Indians if I had to take a side here. I think I'm just more intrigued by the total here at 9.5. It's a big number, but I'd go the over route because
they're both terrible.
Trevor Bauer, not only is he really bad, but this is a dude who's going to walk a lot of guys, and the Jays, for all their faults, still a very patient team that can take these walks against Bauer.
Estrada hasn't got past the fifth inning in 3 straight starts, and for some reason he's walked 23 batters in his last 24 innings, 24 and a third. All right, here's Gary and Thorne. Follow him on Twitter. We're going to come back with our Tampa Bay Buccaneer preview.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
The National Football League preseason is rapidly approaching, now less than 2 weeks away, which means it's time for fantasy football draft. Get ready for your fantasy football draft. Go to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Get 20% off. That's rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. And it's a pretty cheap package, actually, as well. And it'll help you win your leagues, and it'll pay for itself. So it's actually very, very affordable, and you have a lot smarter guys than me giving you expert advice. All right, so let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. These guys are a trendy pick, which should actually scare Tampa Bay fans. They're trendier than the drive-by dunk challenges right now. And I think it's fitting, actually, that we're talking about Florida because, you know what, I'm just thinking some poor kid, man, he's going to run up on George Zimmerman's driveway and Zimmerman's going to shoot the kid. It'd be a different type of drive-by challenge. Be careful, kids out there. It's good. I like what you're doing with this drive-by challenge stuff, but you know there's nut jobs out there that want to shoot you, so keep your head up. All right, many are picking the Buccaneers to win a division in the media, but the odds makers aren't seeing it like that. I was actually surprised that the Bucs, that the odds were as long as they were. Now, we should note that the Bucs, they're trendy. They're going to be on Hard Knocks this year. I don't know why, man. Dirk Cutter watched them. You know, he's trying to sell the brand and stuff like that. But seems to me with the personalities that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have, the last thing that they need is more encouragement and more cameras. And, you know, you're not a winning team. You know, you don't have a winning culture. You don't need, like, you know, if you're a team and you're rolling, I get it. I don't care. Roll the cameras. You're trying to build something here. You're trying to put something together here. You don't need the HBO sideshow circus there, in my opinion. Now, listen, I bet a lot of Tampa Bay Buccaneer games over the years. And the Buccaneers, problem with the Bucs is they don't know how to win. They don't know how to close out games. And it was a problem. And in 2015, they lost five games by 7 points or less. So you're like, wow, that was Winston's rookie year. Last year, it was even worse. They lost seven games. They lost seven close games. You guys know, Buck fans, you guys know this. How many times did the Bucs have a lead in the fourth quarter and they find a way to screw it up? Like Winston will look like a Pro Bowl quarterback in the first half, and then he's clueless late in the fourth quarter. And what I don't like about the Bucs' progress was, and I'll be honest with you, last year I was at the head of the class. I was like, my bold prediction of the year, Tampa Bay goes to the playoffs. And at times they look like they can during their five-game win streak, and then other times they're freaking clueless. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big Dirk Cutter fan. I think the guy's more designed to be an offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. But let's take a look at the numbers right now. The Buccaneers are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 20-1 to win the NFC. They're plus 375 to win a division. I thought the numbers would be a little bit lower than that. Surprised me. Seems a little high. Same numbers that the Saints have, actually. The regular season win total is 8.5 minus 130 to the over. So it's year three for Jameis Winston right now, and it's time for him to step up. He's a tough kid. There's a lot to like about Winston on a football field, all right? The kid will hang in the pocket. He's not fearful. He'll hang on to the ball to the last second. You know, he's a good teammate. Guys like him in the huddle, etc. But those 18 interceptions are too many. You know, the turnovers are too many. The carelessness is too many. And the thing with Tampa, they sort of remind me, these guys are sort of like me on a golf course. You know, like, you ever played golf and, like, for two or three holes, you know, you got like a birdie and a par and a par and a birdie. Maybe you play the front nine. You're like, holy crap, man. I just finished the front nine in like 37. I'm like, why can't I do this all the time? And then, you know, the 10th, 11th, and 12th, you're putting up like, you know, you're putting bagels up and donuts up on the board. And then when it's all said and done, you know, you shot 96 again. That's the thing with Tampa. You know, they're not mentally tough enough. And I'm concerned about him coming into the year, like with Winston. He's flashy. He's good. He has these momentary lapses of concentration, and he makes mistakes. Mike Evans, flashy and good. Momentary lapses, doesn't play hard on every play. And you know what'll help a kid like Winston and Evans? Bringing in DeSean Jackson. Oh, yeah. And it's funny. You see everybody in the media freaking, oh, and DeSean Jackson's going to put him over the top. Yeah, because I know he put the Eagles over the top, didn't he? Yeah, you nearly put Chip Kelly in a mental institution. Yeah, he put the Redskins over the top, didn't he? Like, what are you, over the top? What the hell are you guys talking about, over the top? He's a good player that'll have a groin problem all the time and get hurt and complain. And he's okay. He's okay. A player that I love, though. I love Goodwin. Chris Goodwin, kid out of Penn State. He's like, forget about DeSean Jackson. This kid is going to be the future there. Like, this kid's going to be an impact playmaker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Love that draft pick. Love the draft pick. As far as the ground game is concerned, I don't like it. And I didn't like it last year. I didn't like it the year before. I don't like it now. You know, Jacquizz Rodgers is not an every down back. It's just as simple as that. He's not. He's a good back. Yeah, you know, he averages 4.3 yards a clip. You know, 129 carries. Fine. That's all nice. You can't multiply that. You can't times that by two. You can't give Rodgers the ball 220, 230 times. I do like McNichols, all right? They drafted the running back out of Boise State. And I watch a lot of Mountain West football. He's a good running back. But my only concern with McNichols is, how the hell do we know? You know, so what? You had a good game against Utah State? Who did you play? You know, a lot of these college running backs look great against inferior competition. And the fact of the matter is, the Mountain West Conference isn't a very good football conference. But I do like them. The offensive line is less than average, and you didn't address this. That's what I don't get. Like, the Buccaneers, you guys are close. You know, you're knocking on the door. You're close. You need some protein right now. You don't need more popcorn. You know, your bro, O.J. Howard, popcorn. DeSean Jackson, popcorn. You know, you need some beef. You need some, like, steak here, man, on the offensive line. And it seems like there's a lot of sizzle and not enough steak here for me. The offense has been underachieving in past years. They need to do better. They scored 22.1 points per game. Perception and reality, once again. Who has a better offense, Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Kansas City Chiefs? Quick. Kansas City Chiefs. You know, like, perception, reality. Oh, the Bucs and Mike Evans and Winston. Well, score more than 22 damn points a game. Same thing with the defense. You know, ranked 23rd in the league. They give up 117 yards on the ground, 250 in the air. Way too many yards. And what's amazing about them, they're a lot like the offense. They get to the quarterback, 38 sacks. You got flashy guys on defense that are playmakers. Like, the Buccaneers have all the ingredients. You know, to me, the Buccaneers, imagine a pot like a stew. You're like, yeah, man, Winston, Evans, McNichols, just throw this kid. Hey, O.J. Howard. Hey, Cameron Brate's great. You have all these great ingredients. Yet, you know, when you do the taste test, you're like, I don't know, something's missing. You're like, I don't know, man. Like, it's not right. It's not right. And you don't have enough leaders here. You know, there's a lot of talent, guys flying around. I need somebody to pull this thing together. And I don't know if it's Dirk Cutter. I think the Buccaneers actually could use a coaching change. Yeah, I didn't come in here, and Buck fans, I know you're going to hate me and all this. I'm just being real with you. You have a good football team. Dirk Cutter is not going to win you a Super Bowl, all right? You want to win a Super Bowl, you're not winning a Super Bowl with Dirk Cutter. He's a good coordinator more. I tell you, Alexander's a tackling machine, probably the most underrated player in the National Football League, 145 freaking tackles. Kid's a stud. The win total is only 8.5. The schedule, 9 toughest this year, but they faced the 7th easiest pass defensive schedule. Week 1 is massive. You need to win this game in Miami because you can go 2-0 after that. But after that, look, you got at Minnesota versus the Giants, versus the Patriots, at Arizona, at Buffalo, versus Carolina, at New Orleans. It's a tough freaking schedule, man. When it's all said and done, I'm not as high on the Bucs as I was this year as I was last year. I felt burnt as far as last year. I don't think they're really all that much better. I do like O.J. Howard a lot. I like the players a lot. I wonder about Dirk Cutter, but I still think they can win 9 games. All right? I think the Falcons win a division, but I do like the Bucs to go over 8.5, but I don't see the Bucs going far this year into the playoffs or anything like that. All right, game time decision continues.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. I know the Milwaukee Brewers, the beer's gone flat, man. It's warm and flat right now. You got some warm, flat Miller Lights rocking the house. But with that being stated, how the hell are the Philadelphia Phillies favored against anybody? They're one of the worst teams in baseball and one of the biggest money burners in baseball as well. Got to take the Brewers here, even though Garza's on the hill. Homer, don't Bailey goes against the Marlins tonight. Similar situation. I like Urena better than I like Bailey. Bailey gets lit up at home. He's better on the road, actually, because of that that ballpark. Rangers and Rays. I just don't get the number in this game. You know, you got Yu Darvish. You got Yu Darvish. Yeah, he's good, but he hasn't won in six starts. The Rays are red hot. The Rays are a good road team. The Rangers are a bad road team. I got to take the Rays. You underdog bettors are going to like my picks today because we've got a lot of dogs, except the Dodgers. I'm laying a run and a half with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Wood on the hill tonight. All right, CFL football. The Bombers, man. The Bombers are 5-0 against the spread the last five times they played the BC Lions. They're getting 4 points here. I'm taking them. I like this game to go over. I think it's going to be a higher scoring football game. And let's 7-point tease this son of a bitch. Hey, we've hit all our teasers this week. May the winners be yours.